Scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Good morning, brethren. I hope that you all are doing well and that we're excited to worship God once again today. I would remind us before we get into our lesson, just a clarifying message, that we come here to worship God, and we don't come here to hear a performance. We don't come here to, for any reason of tradition. We come here to worship God because that's the will of God. We come here to show our love for God through worship to Him. We come here to honor God. We come here to remember Christ. And that's why we're here. We're not here to praise ourselves or to lift up ourselves. And each act of worship that we do is equally important, every one of them. And so make sure everything that we do today is sincere from our hearts. Every form of worship that we give to God is sincere from our hearts, and that we want to be here. We're not just showing up today. We want to be here. We want to worship God. And that is just one clarifying message that I wanted to make sure I stated this morning. Now, I'm not up here once again to make a performance. I'm here to preach the Word of God to you. Just as Bruce a moment ago was leading us in singing, and we're singing to God. We're not singing to ourselves, and we're not, you know, singing to each other to praise each other. Certainly it lifts us up and edifies us to hear one another, and that's a good thing. But we're not here to give performances for the sake of the flesh or for the sake of entertainment. Now, that's the difference between the Church of Christ, or those who follow the New Testament, and those of denominations. But the battle between the flesh and the spirit is the lesson that we'll be discussing today in our study of God's Word in this act of worship. Like animals and all other living things on this world, man is in control of all of them. Man is in has dominion over all of these things as given to man back in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30. But something that we forget is that we were given dominion over something all the more important, and that is over our own bodies, over our own bodies. And how much we control them is ultimately up to us. We can let our bodies control us, or we can ultimately let us control our bodies. We can have the flesh win over us all the time, or we can have the spirit win over. Whenever we go back even deeper in the roots of what God gave to mankind to maintain, truly it was the soul, and that God made us in His image, and that we are to maintain being, of course, even in His likeness, in the fact that we are like God. We live godly. Even today, we are Christ-like. We are to maintain the souls that God gave to us. We are to maintain those things and not let sin, of course, corrupt those things to death and to destruction. The war between the flesh and the spirit is a battle that will continue. Ever since mankind came to this, or was created on this world by God, and first fell in the Garden of Eden by sin, well, we're still in battle between that flesh and that spirit. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was first tempted, there was a battle between the flesh and the spirit. She was choosing, should I fulfill this lust right here? Should I fulfill the flesh? Or should I listen to what God told me? Should I fulfill rather the Spirit instead? That's still going on today. You see men choosing their own will over God. And what are they ultimately choosing? To fulfill the lust of the flesh rather than the will of the Spirit. And that is the will of God ultimately. It's a battle that continues throughout one's entire life. It doesn't stop whenever you get older. It doesn't stop whenever you reach middle age, whenever you reach young age, whatever it is. It doesn't stop. It continues from point, until you reach that mind of accountability, and it continues until you pass from this life. Ultimately, we are subject to God's judgments once we reach that mind of accountability. And I say mind of accountability because we do need to keep in mind, of course, our children and those who may be handicapped in mind, who don't have the ability to be able to think for themselves, or they have the mind of a child. We have those in this world handicapped in such a way. That's why I prefer mind of accountability over age of accountability. But walking in the Spirit, what does it mean? It's to conform to the way that you behave with your body, to the ways that Christ behaved with His, and to the New Testament law and the righteous examples within. If you would turn to Galatians 5 with in mind that verse 3 in Ephesians 2 that you just read, among whom also we also, or all once, conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That was Ephesians 2, 3 through 5 once again. But Galatians 5, 16 through 17, what does it say? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So walking in the Spirit is ultimately to walk according to the will of God, and not to focus on self, not to focus on, fulfilling that fleshly desire right now. My body says to do this, so I should do it. My body wants to do this, so I should do it. No, it's having a higher standard for yourself, having a higher mind, and that higher mind being like God's mind, and that you choose to be like God, and that you choose to be righteous, you choose to be Christ-like. Galatians 5, 22 through 26, the fruit of the Spirit in simplicity is listed here. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And take each one of these, slowly and for exactly what they mean. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another even, envying one another. So the flesh wants those things, and it has these desires. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all those different things. We can choose, to immediately fulfill desires that we have in this flesh and react how the world would or how an animal would. And that's one of the best examples that I can give to you. Because what does an animal do whenever it's provoked? And what does an animal do whenever it's, attacked or given a piece of meat? It immediately goes for it. Immediately. It doesn't even think about it. It doesn't have a higher standard of morality. It doesn't have a higher standard of thinking. It just does it. It just does things. An animal doesn't decipher through, what could happen if I do this? What could happen if I do this? It just goes for it. And that's why, of course, man is different, because we're made in the image of God. We have that higher intelligence given to us by God. And ultimately, we have morality. We have a soul that was given to us. And because we have that soul, we have the ability to have morality. But even so, people still choose to neglect that they have a soul. They choose to neglect God altogether. And they choose to fulfill that lust of the flesh that they want instead of following God. So instead of lashing out at something, instead of immediately getting angry at any word that anybody would say, you think before you speak. You think before you do things. You're calm. You're gentle. You're peaceful. You're a peacemaker rather than a war maker. You're not a battle causer. You're somebody who thinks. You're somebody who has morality to the way that you live and the way that you treat people. And the way that, of course, you're treated. Other Christians likewise should be treating you well also. If somebody spit on you or said something rude or aggressive, what would the flesh do? Immediately get angry. Immediately defend itself. Immediately do the same thing back. Say something rude or aggressive back. But what should we as Christians do? But we should rather, what? Turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Love our enemies. That's that higher standard that we're talking about that the Scriptures and Jesus teaches in the New Testament. An animal would behave in an easy way, you know, immediately going for that food or immediately attacking, immediately defending. But we think about things before we do them. We have reasoning in our minds, but before we, you know, make actions, before we choose to do different things. We don't behave like animals. We have morality to us because we were made in the image of God. That's an honor to be made in His image. It's an honor that we have. It's a gift that we have to be different from the animals of this world. You know, insects, whatever you want to think of, plants. We're different living things. We have souls and we're precious in God's sight in that way. And we need to honor that by living like Him as well. Otherwise, we're just as good as the animals if we choose to act like them. If we have no morality to us at all. And that's certainly how the atheists would have you to live. You know, all those different types of natural selection and all those different things, and choosing to believe in evolution, that we're animals anyways. Well, what's our morality from then? Why do we have morality? Why has every man and woman that's ever lived had some type of deity? Why? Why do we always want to worship something? Why do the primitive tribes out on these islands out in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, why are they still worshiping something? Why is everybody worshiping something? Even self. Because morality is within man. Because there is a soul within every man and woman, and we have got to realize it and cherish it and care for it more than we do physical things. Philippians 3, 17 through 21 is the next scripture I'll ask you to turn to. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. Excuse me. Philippians 3, 17 through 21. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship, though, is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. So we as Christians are made in the image of God. We're called to a higher purpose that we might live in a higher place, a true higher place, and that higher place being heaven. If you want to live in heaven, you have to live according to the laws of heaven, according to the standards of heaven. And we are told on this earth, if we want to get to heaven, we have to live according to the standard of the New Testament. By Jesus Christ, He is the only way we get to heaven. Even those in paradise now from the Old Testament were counting on Jesus Christ, but they had their own law. Back in the Old Testament, they had the Mosaic law, which they were to follow, God's will. And if they did not, they were ultimately destroyed. And they will suffer torments as well, just as so many will in this life nowadays. The child of God is to live a different lifestyle from the world. If you find yourself always being involved in groups that are using filthy language, and you're using filthy language yourself, if you're going into bars and you're drinking with everybody else and you're completely out of self-control. And that's a key here when we talk about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, is whether or not we have self-control, whether or not we just do things and we immediately fulfill the flesh, you know, or we choose to think about things and we have morality to things and we try to think, what is my decision going to affect? Is it going to affect my soul? Is it going to affect other people's soul getting to heaven? What will my choice do? We react in the way of the Spirit, the same way that Jesus would react as our greatest example in Scripture, rather than just what our body would want to do immediately. We don't react animal-like. We react what? Christ-like. We react Christ-like and Spirit-like. Walking in the ways of the flesh is completely opposite to walking in the ways of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It says there, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Continue verse 21. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not inherit heaven. If we behave in life apart from God and let our body and our flesh control us, ultimately the spirit is not in control, and the spirit is like locked in a cage, and it ultimately is dead. It will be led to torment and to destruction, with sin being the thing that sits on the throne of your heart. What sits on the throne of our heart today? Is it our material possessions or is it God? If it's our material possessions, it's sin. And it's that disease that infects so many and leads them to death. In life and in spiritual life, it leads them not to life, but to death. Romans 6:23. The Spirit within us, if we choose to have the lust of the flesh over the Spirit, it cannot win. It cannot have the help of Christ. We can't have reconciliation with God if we choose to fulfill the lust of the flesh always and immediately react with our flesh rather than having that standard of morality with us of the New Testament. The only way to have reconciliation with God is through Jesus Christ. But how do we do it? Of course, we have to live like Jesus Christ and live with those ways of the Spirit as God teaches us in the Scriptures. Romans 5:6-11. Romans 5:6-11 is our next text. Romans 5:6-11 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." To receive that reconciliation, you have to take the entirety of the context of the Bible together. People stop it, "Well, He died for us, so we got remission of sins upon Jesus dying." No. What did Peter tell them and the other apostles tell the people to do when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized." Acts 2:38. What should we do? Repent and be... There was something for them to do. They had to live another lifestyle. They had to live according to the ways of the Spirit rather than according to their own lusts and their own desires, which is what most men live by nowadays. That's what makes us different, brethren, is we choose to live by the will of God rather than the will of ourselves. When we become Christians, we have a certain liberty that we are given as well, a freedom in Christ. And we should never use it to further appetites and desires of the flesh. We should rather use it to further the needs of the Spirit and the furtherance of the Spirit. Galatians 5:13-15. Galatians 5:13-15 as well, if you turn there. "Rather than tear one another apart, as animals would, in opportunities for the flesh, in useless wars and battles with other Christians, as so many Christians do nowadays, even, and they did back then. We even saw it in many times in Scripture and in epistles. People were tearing one another apart. They were being angry towards one another. They were being mean to one another." Galatians 5:13-15. "Use opportunities for the Spirit, and through love serve one another." Start there in verse 13 with me, Galatians 5. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Don't let the flesh win is the main point that I want to get to you this morning. Abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from immediately reacting. Think before we do things. All of us, before we make choices, we must have morality involved and God's standard involved. Think before we make decisions. Have time. Separate yourself from a situation if you need to think or if you need to be away from whatever's going on. It's better for you to walk away from a situation than to be fulfilling that lust of the flesh. It's better to stop and think, is this really, you know, worth this right now? Is this worth worrying about? Is it worth all this anxiousness? Is it worth all of these problems that are being created? Is this worth it? Or is this just the lust of the flesh happening? No, but rather fulfill the needs of the Spirit. Edify one another in love. Edify brethren. Edify each other and grow as a church. Grow as a congregation of the Lord's church. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12. Turn there with me if you would. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12. The only way for us to survive the wrath of God is to abstain from those fleshly lusts that war against the soul. To survive the wrath of God, we must be the present day visual example of Christ-like behavior, so that the world may also see and follow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So abstain from those fleshly lusts. Why? Because they war against the soul. Because they tear your soul apart. They tear your morality apart. Each time you partake in them, each time you partake in sin, it kills your soul. It leads to death. And only you can be saved from that by ultimately Jesus Christ once again, who continuously washes us clean of our sins when we repent of those things, as 1 John teaches. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. James 4, 1 through 5 is another passage talking about if we don't control our bodies, wars and fights will be the death of us as a congregation of the Lord's church even. Therefore, we must control our members, control the limbs that are on your body, control your hands, control your feet, control your ears, control your eyes, control your face, control all of it. Because it is yours to control. Nobody else can do that for you. We can try to edify one another, challenge one another, but ultimately we are the rulers of each our bodies. And we must try to lead with the Spirit rather than with the flesh. James 4, 1 through 5 says there, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you don't have. You murder, you covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us earns jealously? So if we don't control our bodies, brethren, it will be the death of us. We need to be careful to control our bodies for the benefit of us as the church together and the benefit of our own selves spiritually, the benefit of our families, even physical families. Control yourselves. I need to control myself. All of us take care of our bodies as we're supposed to. Now, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. As even sometimes, you know, our bodies just, they're like machines, man. They malfunction. They have problems. But they get sick. They get injured. And you got to go to the doctor. Sometimes in the mind it gets sick. The mind gets sick. You got to go to a different type of doctor. Got to get different type of medicine. Sometimes things just happen with the body. And we have to, whenever those things happen, if, of course, it's some type of sin, we need to make sure we correct ourselves. That's why ultimately Jesus lived the perfect life and we couldn't. He died for us, for our sins, because we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have lived a perfect life. No man ever has, except for Jesus, and we needed Him. But we must try and strive to be like Christ. Strive as best as we can attain these bodies. If we do that, God will surely see it and God will surely reward us if we strive our best to be like Christ and as we repent of our sins. Always working to try to not continue in those things. Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. Romans 8, 1 through 11. There's no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit. But there is condemnation for those who walk according to the flesh. Romans 8, 1 through 11. When I say the flesh, I mean the body, brethren. I mean the physical body that each of us wear. These tents that Paul called, our bodies, we are in control of them. If we don't control them, that's our fault. That's not God's fault. It's our fault if we do not control these physical bodies we have been given to maintain. Even our spirits we've been given to maintain. Romans 8, 1 through 11, let's read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Are you reading this? For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's pretty plain and simple, brethren. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You can read verse 11 as well there. But those who walk according to the Spirit, who live up to the spiritual way of living according to the New Testament, have life awaiting them in heaven. They don't have condemnation on the judgment day. After the passing of their life, Hebrews 9:27, whenever every man will eventually face the judgment, after, you know, it's once appointed a man to die, after that the judgment, we won't face torment after this life if we choose to live according to the Spirit. But if you choose the flesh, if you choose your own will, your desires, that will lead one to torment. And we have to be careful of doing that in our life, brethren. We need to examine the ways that we act, the ways that we behave in life, the choices that we make, and we need to change things if there are things that need to be changed. If there are ways we act and ways we behave, we need to change those things. We need to fix those things, more so, a better word. Now this gift that we were given of eternal life in heaven because of our choice to live in a spiritual way that God has given us, now this was only made possible with Christ and by Christ giving His law. But we need to make our bodies in submission to us. Stop letting your body bring your soul into submission. Bring your body into submission. And you're going to have malfunctions. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that happen, errors. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. I look perfect. I wear a suit. And I come up here every Sunday and Wednesday. But I make mistakes all the time, brethren. Every one of us do. And we need Jesus altogether. Not just everyone in the audience. I need Him too. I'm a man. I'm leading in this act of worship. We all need Jesus. We all need repentance of sin whenever we commit those things. None of us are perfect. None. And we have to work together to reach heaven. We have to work together to live according to the Spirit. And we, of course, as well, have to honor our elders and listen to our elders as they try to shepherd this church, try to shepherd this congregation, in helping us to live according to the Spirit. We need to pray for them as well. And help them, even ministering to them as well as good Christians. But the flesh cannot please God, as we just so simply saw there stated in Scripture. Romans 6:15-23. A couple last verses and we're going to be finished here. Romans 6:15-23 says there, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Did you catch that? Sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Obedience to who? To God's will. Verse 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 22, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. There it is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The whole context going much better with that verse. But to be Christ is to have the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, of course, to listen to the Scriptures that were given by the Holy Spirit. If you go to Romans 8, 9 through 11, we understand that there is power in the Word of God. Power in the Word of God that whenever we follow the Word of God, we ultimately are living according to the ways of the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We as Christians are a new creation in Christ. We have that seal, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, as we follow Him, as we follow the Scriptures that have been given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We as Christians are to live a different lifestyle. Many different Scriptures I'm going to give you. We don't have the time to go through them, but I encourage you to on your own time. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. We all should know that one. Colossians 1:13 as well. And we'll turn to Colossians 1:13 and read that real quick. Colossians 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." We need to understand, brethren, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 58. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What inherits the kingdom of God? The ways of the Spirit. The ways of following God's law. Ultimately, these fleshly bodies will die. With all their problems, people depend on even the flesh today. But ultimately, they will die still. They will not live. They depend upon their own will, but with their own will, they use their own bodies. And they do not follow God's will in any way. And those flesh and blood bodies, they will die just as anything in this world ever has died. Anxieties, illnesses, injuries, these bodies have problems. We want those new bodies. And the only way that we can get those new bodies and live an eternal life with those incorruptible bodies is by living according to the Spirit once again. 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 58. Last things. 15:50 through 58 says here, we've read this a couple times before. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, they shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our labor is not in vain because we're living according to the ways of the Spirit. Not because we just believe on Jesus and we're saved once. It's because we live according to the Spirit continuously. It's a continuous action throughout our entire life until we eventually receive that reward. 1 Corinthians 15:29 through 34 is that next reference that I give you. And brethren, with this lesson I give you a challenge to do better with our bodies. To do better with what choices we make in this life. Whether it affects other people or whether it affects yourself, make better choices with your body so that your soul might live on and so that the soul might return to God, even as the book of Zechariah says, I believe it's in chapter 12 and verse 1. But we need to do better with our bodies. And some might be able to say, well, I've been controlling my body very well. Praise God for that. But if there's something that you're struggling with, if you're letting your body control you in some type of addiction, in some type of sin that is just continuously being a problem for you, maybe you need to get help from your brethren. Maybe you need to ask for prayers. There's no shame in that. There's just not, brethren. Every single one of us struggle. And people think it's a terrible thing, you know, somewhat, to come up to these pews and ask for help. Now, I've seen maybe one person in the whole time I've been here come up and ask for help. I know many of us have needed help more. I know that. And if you need the invitation, if you need prayers, because every one of us need prayers, and every one of us need edifying and taken care of spiritually by our brethren, well, let us help you. Let the church help you. Let us take care of you. And let us try to, of course, get you back right with God. Or whatever it may be, let us pray with you. If you're not a Christian and you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you believe the word that was even just said today, and you're willing to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ before men, and be baptized into water, immersed, that you might receive remission of sins to be added to the kingdom of God eternally. If you're ready to do all those things, why do you wait? Today is the day of salvation. If you're of that mind of accountability, today is the day. If you are not Christian, you're lost in your sin if you're of that mind of accountability. So you need to do something about your soul. You have a soul within you that's waiting to be saved. God has given you a soul. Cherish it. Do what's right with it. Do what's right with your body. Cherish your soul, your body, and make good choices. And that's the challenge I give to all of us today. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and sing to God together.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus.